Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Kuf Ches. We're on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are with the Mishnah. Here we are in the second daf of the 13th parak of the Masechta, parak dedicated to the topic of Miyun. Father can marry off his daughter even as a minor, even though she doesn't have the requisite das. The father provides for her the necessary das in order that she can get married, and that is Min HaTorah. Torah empowers the father to marry his daughter. On the other hand, if the father is not around, the Chachamim wanted a framework in which the girl could get married, and therefore they gave a structure, a framework in which either her brother or her mother can marry her off. This does not operate on a level of the Torah. The Torah does not empower the mother or the brother to do so, but this operates on a din de rabbanan. Her marriage, therefore, is a din de rabbanan. We learned in yesterday's daf that she has a way of extricating herself from this marriage, which is called miyun. Miyun is a, according to Beis Shammai, one-time opportunity, according to Beis Hillel, a multiple-time opportunity for her to be able to allow herself to extricate herself from a marriage, and it does not require a get. It does not require an actual divorce, but rather, this is just simply her ability to refuse and to release herself from this marriage. What is of interesting note, which we discussed yesterday, we will continue to discuss today, is that miyun operates retroactively, meaning what the miyun does is not only does it extricate herself from the marriage, but it expunges the marriage. It creates it as if the marriage never existed. Her refusal is not just going on the fact that she no longer wants to be with this man, but the fact of the matter is that it whitewashes the marriage altogether. It just simply retroactively removes the marriage from the very beginning. Obviously, this creates for a lot of interesting discussion. We discussed yesterday. We're going to continue to discuss today. Our first point of discussion in the Mishnah, we're on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, is Ezihi Ketana Shetzrich Lamayin. At what point is she considered a Ketana who requires to do Miyun? Meaning to say that the Mishnah is acknowledging the fact that if she gets married at such a young age that she has no das whatsoever, so then Miyun is not even required, meaning it does not even have any kind of framework of marriage. Mishnah goes on to describe Kol Sheyasi Imah V'Yachila Da'ata, Hisiyu Shalola Da'ata Nitzrich Lamayin. So as long as there's some das on her part, so then the miyun is required. If there's no das on our part, so then there's no miyun that's required. So the Mishnah is just basically giving us a general idea that with no das whatsoever, meaning that she's so young that she has no significant understanding whatsoever of what's happening. So then this is not a marriage, not even on a rabbinic level, and therefore no miyun is required. Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos Omer Kol Tinok Sheini Yechol Lishmor Kiddusha and Itzrich Lamayin. So Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos seems to be in total agreement with this point, and he's just simply giving us a parameter. He's giving us some sort of guideline of knowing when she has any kind of das whatsoever. Throughout Shas, we speak about this idea that despite the fact that we assume that das does not really come about until 12 for a girl, 13 for a boy, but we assumption of the Chachamim is throughout Shas that there is some still basic elemental das that occurs even at a younger age. In fact, just yesterday we talked about various benchmarks that a minor arrives at, in which there is some basic das that allows them to do certain transactions. That's the Zmana Pu'utos that we described yesterday. Or even to make a neder. So a year prior to their bar and bas mitzvah, they can make a neder. So there certainly is a stage in which they have some das even before they reach the stage of adulthood. Here, in terms of miyun, and when structurally it's considered a marriage, so the Mishnah just simply articulates that there will come a point in time where there's a requirement of miyun, meaning that it has a framework of marriage. When is that stage? So Rabbi Chanina ben Tignos describes it as, Ein yechol lishmor kiddusha, ein tzrich lamayin. If she's unable to protect her kiddushin, meaning she was given some sort of item of value, and she can't even protect it, so then miyun is not required whatsoever. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein ma'ase ketana klum. Ma'ase ketana is nothing. Rabbi Eliezer is really touching on a very fundamental nature in terms of what exactly is Kedusha Ketana. Ella kemefuta. The only thing that a minor is when married is only like a woman who's being seduced, but it has no marital significance whatsoever. This sheet to Rabbi Eliezer is the Gemara is going to make this point. It's a radical position. It really is a difficult position to maintain, but he maintains it, and the Gemara is going to comment on that. So we'll wait till the Gemara. And this is just now an elaboration of Rabbi Eliezer's position, that he really believes that Kedusha Ketana has no framework of marriage whatsoever. If she's a Bas Yisrael married to a Kohen, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Normally a woman married to a Kohen is allowed to eat Truma, but again, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's simply no framework of marriage. Bas Kohen Yisrael, Tocha B'Truma. On the other hand, a Bas Kohen married to Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma, meaning that her marriage is not going to impede her whatsoever from eating Truma. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Kol Akavashi Min Ish, Ki'ilu hi ishto, kol akava she'ino min ish, ki'ilu eino ishto. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is making a separate point, and that is that if something is holding her back is him, so then they are like considered like husband and wife. If that which is holding her back is not him, so then they are not considered like husband and wife. That is a cryptic comment of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and the Gemara is going to try to give us better understanding of what he means by that. Amar Rav Yehuda v'Amrila ben Masisa Tana. We start with the Gemara, we're on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, and first order of business in the Gemara is the Nusach of the Get Miyun. Meaning after the girl does a miyun, after she refuses her husband, so then a discussion to be had in terms of how is this written up, what kind of documentation, what is it going to look like. So Brishona Yikosrin get miyun, lo re'ina be, velo tzavina be, velo veles ana baye, lehisna sava le. So the get miyun basically is an expression, it just writes out from her point of view. I don't want him, I'm not interested, I don't want to be married to him. Kevin dechazun nefish debur. However, upon further review, looking at this nusach, the Chachamim said it's not a good nusach. Why not? Amre. Because people are going to say, as we turn to the top of Kuf Chesem and Aleph, Aseh Lachluf Ebegita, people are going to confuse it with a regular standard get. And then what they're going to do is they're going to use this is Rashi's pshat over here, they're going to use this as opposed to a standard get in order to try to create a regular get. Rashi writes, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Sheikh Devenu Sofer Bor Beget Gerishin Ligarish Bo Isham. So you have a sofer bor, an uneducated sofer, who is going to basically he's so used to writing various types of documents, he's going to write this document for a standard get, and obviously this is not the nusach for a standard get. Okay, it is a little bit difficult to imagine that you have somebody who is writing up a get and really is going to get confused between a get miyun and a standard get, but that certainly is Rashi's pshat. Tosfos also echoes Rashi's pshat as well. Anyway, but because of this confusion, so takino hachi. So therefore, they amended the document to be written as follows: Bion ploni bi'an plonis, bas ploni b'an pana, on such and such a day. So this woman, did me in front of us. Okay, you'll notice that first of all, the updated, the edited version of the nusach is significantly different. In terms of its length, it's much shorter, but probably the most significant difference is point of view. Meaning that the original documentation was from her point of view, and the amended document is from the third party point of view, meaning from the Eidim. The Eidim are basic or the Beis Din, one or the other. But certainly this is going to be dramatically different than that of a standard get, and because in a standard get, so it's the actual get that is the vehicle of that which is divorcing. When it comes to this is just documentation of what happened. And so therefore the language is updated and amended so that it it does not give the appearance that the actual document itself is what's creating the severance. It's just simply attesting to what happened. Tana Rabban Ezuhi Mion. So what are examples of Mion? Meaning what exactly is it going to sound like? So Amra, she says, Yefshi be ploni bali, I don't want my husband, Yefshi be kedushin shekidshuni imi, v'achai, I don't want the kedushin that was done for me either by my mother or by my brother. Yes, so alkein Amra Rabbi Yehuda, afili yoshev es bar pirion, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll take it even a step further. Even if she's sitting on her bridal chair. Okay, so at the chasa, so the woman sits on her chair, a minag that continues to this very day, and va'olechas mi beis avila beis ba'ala, and they carry her from her father's house to her husband's house. Okay, this part is not exactly done to this very day, but anyway, va'amri yefshi beploni ba'ali, and she says, I don't want my husband, zuzehi miyun. So that also is going to be miyun, meaning that's also refusal. And despite the fact that her verbal comment is not exactly in consistency with the action that's happening right now, meaning she's allowing herself to be taken, but nevertheless, miyun just simply means that she verbally is refusing. Zeu miyun. Yaso kein amar Rav Yehuda afilu hayu orchim esume bebeis bala. Let's say that there were guests in the house, v'hi omenes mashke aleihem, and what she's doing is she's serving. V'amar lehem yefshi beploni bali, and she says, I don't want my husband, harehu miyun. That also is miyun. Yes, okay, now I'm a Rebbe. We have a Yossi Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda. Afilu shigra ba'ala etzel chenvani. Even if she's sent to do an errand. Lahavi lo chefetz mishalom. To bring an item that belongs to her husband. Ve'ami yefshi b'ploni ba'ali. And she says, again, I don't want my husband. En lechami en gadol mizeh. That also is going to be me. And even though she's right now doing a service for her husband. And again, there's not perfect agreement between her actions and her comment. But as far as Mina is concerned, once she makes a verbal declaration that she's not interested in her husband, so that's going to be considered Mion. Okay, and yes, in other words, for those who are thinking right now that this marriage sounds unbelievably tenuous, to the degree in which she makes any kind of verbal articulation of how she does not want to be in this marriage, and that's gonna sever the marriage. So, admittedly, that is an extraordinarily tenuous relationship, which probably is the point. Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus, Amar Kol Tinokas v'chulei, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel Halachik, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. So, if she's not capable of watching something, she does not have any kind of das whatsoever. The marriage is not even a marriage midrabanan. And the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, Halacha Karebi Chanin ben Antignus. That's in fact the Halacha Tana. Tana Shalomina Ve'amda Ve'nisseis. A girl who did not do Mian, but what she did is she accepted and Nisuin from another man. She married another man. So Mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera Amru Nisua Hein Hein Mi'uneha. That's Mian. Meaning the fact that she accepts the marriage from another man, so that is as clear cut as you can get that she's not interested in her current husband. So that is a considered a mion. And obviously the chiddush over here is that up until now we assume mion is a verbal declaration that she's not interested. Over here this is not a verbal declaration, but nevertheless the action over here speaks pretty loudly. The Gemara has a lot of follow-up questions over here. What if she didn't accept nisuin from another man, but she only accepted kiddushin from another man? What would be the halacha? Tashma. So here, same halacha by Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, but even though she only accepted kiddushin from another man, nevertheless, that's considered like a verbal declaration of refusal. Another follow-up question of the Gemara: are the Chachamim in argument with Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera imtim salam or plige? And even if you're going to tell me that there is not consensus on this issue, and the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera b'kiddushin or afilu b'nisuin, is the argument by kiddushin or even by nisuin? V'imtim salam or plige afilu b'nisuin. And if you will tell me that the Chachamim who argue Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera do so even where she accepts nisuin from another man, halacha kamoso and halacha kamoso, that doesn't tell us who the halacha falls like. V'imtim salam or halacha kamoso, and even if the halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera b'nisuin or afilu b'kiddushin, is that by nisuin or even so far as kiddushin? So a lot of follow-up questions over here. Tashma, the Gemara quickly answers. Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Yehuda ben Besera, Halacha Mechlal de Pligi. So first of all, we already knew the answer to the question of whether or not they argue. If Rav Yehuda ben Besera is telling us who the Halacha follows like, clearly, that means there's an argument. Ve'akati tibay lach to have a nesiva mi'ikara. Odilma mi'kadisha. Still, the Gemara says, fine. So, we know that the Chachamim argued with Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera. We know the Halacha falls like Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, so that we all know. Here's another follow-up question, and that's the following. Let's say that she is Kedusha Ketana, but she only went through the first stage of marriage. But only through Kedushin. Let's say she went through the first stage. Let's say she went through her first and second stage of marriage with her first husband. Is a non-verbal refusal going to be acceptable even in that case where she goes through nisuin? Tashma, the Gemara says, here, once again, we know the answer. Dekalte de Avdan Imrud, because we know the daughter-in-laws of Avdan. So, in the previous parak, in the 12th parak of Yavama, so we learned about Avdan, who was the attendant to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And Avdan had a really big fallout with Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. So you remember just a couple of days ago, we went through the episode in the base measures that took place, and it got really ugly. Anyway, so we know that Avdan's behavior was really over the line. He overstepped his bounds, and a number of things happened to Avdan, including that his daughter-in-laws did mian. So this is probably a reference to that which we just discussed a couple of days ago, called it Avdan Imrod. So the daughter-in-laws of Avdan, so they rebelled against their husband. Shad Rabbi Zugid Rabbanan Lemivdekinu. And what Rabbi did is Rabbi sent a pair of Talmidei Chachamim in order to give further investigation. Amr Luhu Neshe. Other women said to the daughter-in-laws, Chazik Avrecha Dekasi, your husbands are coming. Okay, they weren't exactly right. It wasn't their husbands. It was a pair of rabbis. But anyway, so Chazik Avrecha Dekasi. So Amre Luhu. So this is now the daughter-in-laws and their response. Nehavik Avrecha Didchu. We'd much rather that they be your husbands than our husbands. We are not interested in them at all. So Ein Lachamiyan Gadomi. I'm sorry. I'm a Rebbe Ein Lachamiyan Gadomizeh. So Rebbe says that's Mian. So my love to have a nesiva. Now, an important detail which the Gemara does not give us, and it's obviously what we're trying to litigate right now, and that is these daughter-in-laws of Avdon. They were ketanim. That part's clear. Contextually, we know they're ketanim. What stage of marriage were they with the sons of Avdon? Were they at the first stage of marriage, kedushin, or were they at the second stage of marriage of nisuin? So my love, dam nisiva. So that's exactly what we're litigating right now. And the Gemara suggests that maybe they're at the first, they're at the second stage of Nisuin. So lo davami kachi kedushe. So the Gemara says not necessarily. It could very well be that they're only at the first stage of marriage. So the Gemara says, and just to end this discussion, the halacha is in fact like Rav Yehuda ben Bisera. And even if the first marriage, meaning her kedusha ketana, was not just kedusha, but it was Nisuin as well, the halacha is in fact going to be like Rav Yehuda ben Bisera, that even a nonverbal refusal is in fact going to be considered a refusal, and which will sever the relationship. And again, Mion doesn't just sever the relationship, it expunges the relationship in total. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, here we go. I'm Rabbi Yehuda ben Shmuel. The Gemara here on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, we are right at the midway mark of this Amud. And we are going to be now discussing the very fundamental question of what exactly is Kedusha Ketana. Meaning that the Chachamim allowed for a framework for a girl to get married, even though the Torah does not recognize a marriage, but the Chachamim gave a framework. Within this halachic framework that the rabbis gave. So what is it? Meaning, to what degree is this marriage? So Rabbi Eliezer, we already saw this back in the Mishnah, but now the Gemara is going to really speak it out. Rabbi Eliezer says is that it's basically not marriage. Meaning, they are living together as husband and wife. They are intimate with one another, but it's not marriage. That's the sheet of Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot to say. And the Gemara now basically is going to make exactly that comment. I'm a Rav Yehuda Mashmol, Chazan El Kotzdi De Chachamim. I looked at it from every angle. V'lo matzasi adam sheishvi midosav biktana k'Rebbe Eliezer. And nobody was more consistent than Rabbi Eliezer. She'asa Rabbi Eliezer k'mitayles emo b'chatzer. As far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, they are like walking. They're walking together in the courtyard, and after being together intimately with one another, so she tovels in the mikvah, meaning she herself is a Bas Kohen. He himself is a Yisroel, and normally a Bas Kohen married to Yisroel, of course, can't eat truma, but she can. So that evening she can go ahead and she can eat truma. So why that evening? Because she had bia, and as we learned already numerous times in the Ar Masechta, and we're going to hear this again and again throughout Seder Nashim, and that is that when a woman and a husband, when a husband and wife are intimate with one another, so even though they were involved in a mitzvah, nevertheless the Tashmish Shemitah will make him and her tameh. Okay. From our Gemara, it sounds like she's going to be tummy only for one day, meaning she'll tovel in the mikvah that day, hair of shemesh, and she could be tara that night. Okay, truth of the matter is that there's another consideration as far as she's concerned, that she is poleta sheikh vazera, but for the time being, I'm going to gloss over that point. Anyway, what comes out that according to Rabbi Eliezer, they are not married, they are not husband and wife. So despite the fact that it has a look of marriage, it has a framework of marriage, but halachically it has no status of marriage whatsoever. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer ein maisa ketana klum. No action of a minor is at all significant. Ve'ein bala zakai lo b'mitziyaseh v'lo b'masi yadeh v'lo b'afars nedareha. The general rights that are afforded to a husband are not going to be afforded to a man who's married to a ketana. Ve'eino yorsha. If in fact she dies, he does not inherit her. Ve'ein mitame la. If he's a Kohen, he's not mitami for her. In other words, it's not considered, she's not considered his wife. Kolo shel davar. So let's just say it out. Eino k'ishto l'chol davar. Ela shetzrich emiyon. Not like a wife. The only thing that's required if this is going to terminate is just simply miyun. That is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. and diametrically opposed to Rabbi Elazar is the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Balazaka Bimitsiasova, Masaya Daova, Farsna Daraviosha, Vintamila. So basically all the rights, privileges, responsibilities that a husband has to a wife, so that will be enforced over here, despite the fact that this marriage is a din de Rabbanan. It is a Nisuin mid Rabbanan, nevertheless, all the rights afforded to a husband will be enforced over here. Harehi ki ishto lichol davar elashiyotze b'mion, with the notable exception that it can be terminated through mion. So I'm a Rebbe. So now on this very fundamental machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi has the following commentary: Nivri divar Rabbi Elazar midivar Rabbi Yeshua, she Rabbi Elazar hishvul midosav v'ketana v'Rabbi Yeshua chalak. So Rabbi says, look, Rabbi Eliezer's position is certainly difficult, but it's consistent. And meanwhile, Rabbi Yeshua, so what he's trying to do is he's trying to split the atom. So my chilek, so the Gemara says, could you try to clarify that? What does that mean, that Rabbi Yeshua is inconsistent? Ishto hiti baiget. So the Gemara goes on to explain really succinctly that, look, according to Rabbi Yeshua, so they are married. Albeit they're married mid-Rabbanan, but it doesn't matter, they're married. Normally, how does marriage end? What's the conclusion of marriage? It's going to end in a get. And over here, even Rabbi Yoshua will concede the fact that this is not going to require a get, meaning this is not considered a kedushe ketana. It's not marriage in the sense that she doesn't require a get. All she needs to do is just simply verbally declare that she's not interested anymore, meaning mian. That's it. So Rabbi Yeshua is really trying to do a significant balancing act, on one hand calling it marriage, on the other hand, no need to terminate it the way you normally terminate marriage, i.e. a get. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Eliezer, no get's required. Why? Because it's not marriage. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer nami, lavishto, he nami lotibaye. So the Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you want real consistency, if you want Rabbi Eliezer to be as fundamental as possible in terms of consistency, so how about this? How about you don't even require mian? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, no. In other words, you need something to indicate that this relationship is over. Even though the relationship does not have a surah of marriage, but nevertheless, it is some form of a relationship. And so you're not going to ask her to just leave with nothing. In other words, there has to be some sort of verbal declaration. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hechi dami akavashim an ish v'akavashin an ish. And now we're up to the last line of the Mishnah. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Let's make sure that we're all separating. This is not Rebbe Eliezer that we just got done discussing. This is another Tana. This is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov making some form of distinction whether he's holding back the marriage or she's holding back the marriage, and it's vague and it's not clear what he's talking about. The Gemara seeks to clarify immediately. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tevo Lanase V'Amra Machmas Ploni Ba'ali Zui Akava Shehi Min Ha'ish. So, when is this marriage going to be considered a marriage where somebody else, meaning she is currently Kedusha Ketana with a man, somebody else comes over and proposes marriage to her, and she says, look, I'm currently married. I'll even narrate. I'm happily married. So under those circumstances now, that means that that this marriage is in fact in force, again, as Kedusha Ketana, but nevertheless the marriage is in force, and therefore Mian is going to be required if in fact she wants to walk away from the marriage. However, Machmas Bnei Adam She'ena Mehuganim Li, but let's say when somebody else comes over and proposes marriage to her and she says, you know, I love the idea of being married. Meaning, again, we're talking about a girl who is currently involved in Kedusha Ketana with a man. And somebody comes over and says, I'd like to propose to you. And she says, Machmas Bnei Adam She'ena Mehuganim Li. She says, look, I like the proposal. What I don't like is you. And her refusal is just predicated on the fact that she's not interested in this particular suitor. Under those circumstances now, so in other words, what's holding them back, what's holding them together is not her husband, meaning she'd be more than happy to marry somebody else if somebody else worthy were to come along. So this is one possible interpretation of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Again, I know I go back to what I said back in the Mishnah. You talk about a tenuous relationship. It's so tenuous right now that we're looking at her response to the proposal of another man. And if, in fact, the proposal of another man seems interesting to her, so then that's going to now be a reflection of her current marriage not being nothing. So again, you're talking about an extraordinarily tenuous relationship according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Dami Tavayo, Nasan Laget, Zui Akava Shehim and Aish, Vuhu Asa Bekrovasev, Yasura Bekrovav, Upasamana Kahuna. Mian Abozui Akava Shehim and Aish, Vimuta Bekrovasev, Vimutas Bekrovasev, Lo Pasla, Mina Kahuna. The Gemara gives an alternate Pshat in Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, a little bit of an easier Pshat. And that is, how did this marriage terminate? Again, Kedusha Ketana. So he got married to a minor, and again, the marriage was facilitated by either her mother or her brother. How does this marriage terminate? So if he's the one terminating the marriage now, if he wants to terminate the marriage, he's got to issue a get. So at that point in time, now this marriage is recognized. The marriage is recognized, and as a result of that, the consequences of a marriage that terminated, so he's going to be prohibited to her relatives, and conversely, she will be prohibited to his relatives. Additional to that is that if she was a Bas Kohen, she's a Grusha where she can't marry a Kohen. On the other hand, if the marriage is terminated through her Mion, so then again, like we said already yesterday, and we're saying it again today, what that does is that retroactively uproots the marriage altogether. They were never married. He can marry any one of her relatives. Conversely, she can marry any one of his relatives, and she's not considered a grusha. If she wants to, she can go ahead and she can marry a Kohen. So, Hakatan lekaman, Hamamen is beishu muter bekrovasev, vihi muteres bekrovav, velo pasul menakuna, san laget, hu asur bekrovasev, vihi asur bekrovav, upasul menakuhuna. So the Gemara says, look, lovely pshat, wonderful pshat. It just happens to be, that's the very next Mishnah. So you're telling me that the correct Pshat in Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is just simply the upcoming Mishnah? And the Gemara's answer is really simple. Perusha kamefarish. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. Meaning if I read the Mishnah, just one Mishnah back to back with the other Mishnah, and just ignore the Gemara, which obviously the Mishnah is when originally formatted, that's exactly how they were formatted. So yeah, so in other words, to the Mishnah now, the upcoming mission, which we're about to start momentarily, is in fact an explanation of the previous mission, of the last statement of the previous mission of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Good. Okay, which now brings us to the upcoming Mishnah. So, before we do so, just a quick mid-daf review. I turn to our attention to, at what point in time is a Kedusha Ketana have any validity whatsoever? She needs to have some basic das. In the Mishnah gave us some understanding of what basic das means when it comes to a girl who is involved in Kedusha Ketana, so that in order for the marriage to terminate, she needs miyun. She has to be old enough where she could be shomer. She could be a trustful custodian over an item that was given to her. The mission does not give us an actual age, but anyway, that is when the Kedushin has any validity to it whatsoever. Mishnah then brought us the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, who says that Kedusha Ketana halachically has no significance whatsoever. It does not constitute any form of marriage. There is no rights, responsibilities, privileges that are afforded to the husband and wife that normally is afforded to the husband and wife. Rabbi Eliezer says the Kedusha Ketana is marriage in form, but halachically has no marriage status to it whatsoever. An unusual, interesting sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Contradistinction to the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, which we saw in the Gemara. Rav Yeshua is on the other side of this issue. And then finally, the Mishnah goes on to go over the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov that talks about where he's holding back the marriage versus where she's holding back the marriage. And if he's holding back the marriage, it's a marriage. If she's holding back the marriage, it's not a marriage. And what exactly that means. And we just saw together a second shot in that statement of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which is the upcoming Mishnah. Let's start the upcoming Mishnah. Hamima enes ba'ish. After a girl, again, same scenario. It's always going to be the same scenario here in this parak. She's married off as a ketana by either her mother or by her brother. And she now has a right of refusal. And she does it. She refuses her husband. So, humo tekur bekrovasev, vihimo teres bekrovav, velo pasal min hakohuna. So, as we just got done learning, so at that point in time, it retroactively expunges the marriage. Nasan laget. But let's say her husband gives her a get, so who asur bekrovasev, he asur bekrovav, upasam in a kahuna. So, but if the marriage terminates with him giving her a get, so then it does not retroactively erase the marriage. In other words, it's treated like a marriage that's just simply terminated through get. He can't marry her relatives, she can't marry his relatives, she can't marry a kohen from this point going forward. Nasan laget ve'echzira. Let's say after giving her a get, he takes her back. Allowed to do that. Mi'anabo. She's still a minor. She now, at this point in time, refuses him. Venisa Sa'acher. And then she marries another man. Venisa Armelon is Garsha. Either widowed or divorced from this other man. Mutar Slachzalo. she can go back to him. Now, she can go back to him. Let's think about this for just a moment. We know, we've seen this already numerous times in our Masechta, Pesukim in Parshas Ki Seitze, that tells us that after marriage terminates through divorce, and then she goes ahead and marries another man, she cannot go back to her original husband. This is what's called Machzik Grushaso. What we're learning together in our Mishnah is a really powerful idea, which is that if the if a relationship with her first husband went two rounds. The first round it went with terminating with a get. Second round it terminated with miyun. What that miyun does, it expunges. It expunges their entire relationship. It totally clears out the entire relationship, including the get that he issued to her. So that when she goes ahead and she marries another man, and then that marriage terminates and she goes back to her original husband, it's not considered her original husband. And therefore this does not violate the Isra of Machzor Grushaso. Miyun abo vihichziro. Now, the Mishnah here just it changes one detail, but this change obviously is going to make all the difference. Let's say with her first husband, so it does terminate twice, but first with Miyun, then with Get. Miyun only retroactively washes everything out. It does not wash anything for the future. So that means to say that the halacha recognizes their marriage because the second round it ended with a get. She then goes ahead and marries another man. That marriage terminates, and if she wants to now go back to her original husband, she can't go back to her original husband. This is a classic scenario of machzer grushaso mishanisis, and you can't do it. Now we turn to the top of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. Zehakal. Get achra miyun asur lachzor lo, miyun achra get mutar lachzor lo, and the Mishnah just simply gives us the rule. And what we just went over, just it gave us this in the form of a general rule. Let's say after having done miyun to a man, she marries another man and divorces that second man. She marries another man. This is going to be her third husband for those keeping score. And miyanabo, and she does miyun. La'acher vigirsha. La'acher umiyanabo. She then marries another man, divorces that man, marries another man, and does miyun to that man. Any husband that she left with a get, she can't go back to. Any husband that she left with miyun, she can go back to. Again, miyun expunges, get does not expunge. Okay. So, amas miyun mevatel get. So, what comes out clearly in our Mishnah? The Gemara starts off the discussion with what seems to be a really clear observation of the Mishnah, is that what miyun does is that miyun expunges. It totally clears the history of the relationship. Even though historically there was a get in the relationship, but if he takes her back and she does miyun, so miyun is going to clear the entire history. Viriminu. So the Gemara says, okay, let's consider the following. We're not going anywhere else in Shas. We're staying in our Mishnah. And that is in our Mishnah's second case, in the latter part of the Mishnah. So she does miyun with a man, v'nisas lachar v'girsha. And then, after having done miyun with a man, she goes and marries another man, and she does girishim with the other man. La'acher umiyanabo, la'acher umiyanabo, la'acher v'girsha. She marries yet another man, ending in miyun. She marries another man, ending in gerushin. La'acher umiyanabo, and ze'aklav. And now, what do we learn in the Mishnah? Any husband that ended with a get, she is allowed. Let's do that correctly. She's not allowed to go back to any husband that ends with miyun. She is allowed to go back to. So now, in the second half of the Mishnah, what comes out clearly is that miyun is only going to clear the history of their relationship, but miyun is not going to clear the history of any previous relationship. Miyun would not clear her history altogether. Now, there's an obvious difference, which the Gemara in a moment is about to point out, and that is we're talking about clearing their history versus clearing somebody else's history. And that is an important distinction, but right now the Gemara does not see that as being any significant difference. And so Shmuel, not seeing a difference between clearing their history versus clearing somebody else's history, so Shmuel says, good. So what you're going to have to say is that, look, break the Mishnah up. Meaning there are two halves of the Mishnah, and they're authored by two different Tanaim. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to go over exactly who these two different Tanaim are. But they reflect two different Tanaim. Meaning one Tanaim is of the position that Miyun clears history for her, for their relationship and any previous relationship that she had. And the and there's another time that says no, that Mia does not clear the history. And our Mishnah is just reflecting the two different Tanayim. I'm a Rava Maikusha. Rava says, look, we don't have to do that. Meaning our Mishnah is anonymous. There does not seem to be that there are different authors of our Mishnah espousing two different positions. What you're just simply going to do is make a distinction between the first case of the Mishnah, second case of the Mishnah. V'dilma, mi and didei mevato get didei. Mi and dechaver lo mevato gita didei. Okay? And it could very well be that when you're doing mian with a man, so that can erase your history with that man. Meaning historically you were married to that man in the first round it ended with get. And then you tried a second time. And then you did mian. Oh, so maybe mian historically clears the history with this man. But maybe mian does not clear the history with another man. Meaning if she marries another man and that new relationship ends with mian, it doesn't clear the history with her original husband. Can't you make that distinction? So the Gemara says, now, let's think this out. Why should that be? Why are we ready to argue that mian is not going to clear the history with another man? So So the Gemara says, because her and her first husband were intimate with one another. She knows basically they have a coded communication with one another. So what he may try to do is going to go over to her while she's married to the second husband, try to persuade her. That's the language of the Gemara. Azo mishabesh umaisela. Mishabesh usually means corrupt. In this case, that's pretty much what it means. Meaning he's going to look to corrupt her and basically take her away from her current husband and bring her back to him. And so therefore what the Chachamim wanted to do is not give him that kind of opportunity. Therefore, what they did is they blocked Mian, so that Mian does not whitewash, Mian does not clear the history with her and all other men. So the Gemara, and so therefore her original husband will not be incentivized to try to corrupt her and have her leave her current husband to go back to him. So the Gemara says, Mian Didei Nami Lo Levato Dite Didei. So the Gemara says, okay, but why can't we make the same argument regarding Mian Didei? Meaning her history with her husband. I did the Makaris Berimizu Sav Vakrisu Sav Azo Mashabish Maisi La. Meaning that let the Chachamim not allow for Mian to clear the history, so that at a later point in time he doesn't try to bring her back. So the Gemara says that's not exactly the same. Hakvar Shabsha Velo Ishabsha. So the Gemara says, look, in other words, clearly she's rejecting him. Meaning she knows what she's rejecting. In other words, she already rejected him. So now what is he going to try to do? He's going to try to win her back? She already rejected him. So there's no real reason why the Chachamim need to incentivize or disincentivize her mian from clearing their history. El ikasha dechavre dechavre kasha. The Gemara says, okay, but okay, as much as you were able to make a distinction between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah, the Gemara says, let's note the following. And that is Miana bo vehechtira. Now, so la get venisis lach venis armelon is garsha asur lach solo. Okay, so let's take a look at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, what do we have? First, he did mian. First, the first time the marriage ended with mian, and then he takes her back, and then it ends again with a get. Meaning, at this point in time, he's had enough. He gave her a get. So it's with the first husband mian, then get. Then she goes ahead and she marries another man, and that marriage terminates. So asur lach zolo. So she can't go back to her husband. So time of dinas amalon is garsha hamiana mutar lach zolo. So now, a simple deek in the Mishnah, when she moves on to the second husband, and if that marriage were to end in mian, now the Mishnah doesn't say it, but it seems pretty clear. Meaning we can make an easy deek in the Mishnah that if that marriage with her second husband ended in mian, she can go back to her first husband. So ama asim mian dechavre mevata gita didei. So you see that mian that she does with another man clears the history for everybody, including her first husband. Uriminu, and now we're just going to go to the second half of the Mishnah. Hamimanes bishvenisus lachar v'girsha lachar mianabo lachar v'girsha lachar mianabo zeakal kol shiasa mena get besur lachar lo b'miyamatul mutar lachar lo ama lo asim mian dechavre mevata gita didei. And meanwhile, in the second half of the Mishnah, it could not be any clearer. Mian does not clear history with other men. So I'm Rav Elazar Tavra Misha Shanazu Lo Shanazu. So Rav Elazar says once again, just you're going to have to divide the Mishnah. Whoever learning the first half of the Mishnah is not in agreement with the second half of the Mishnah. Meaning we do have a basic machlokus between Tanayim, whether or not Miyun can clear history with not only her and her husband, but also clear the history with her and other men previously as well. And so the first half of the Mishnah says it can, and the second half of the Mishnah says it cannot. That's one approach. Ula amar kagon sheshuch shabegitin demechsei kegedola. So the Ula says, no, you don't have to say that. Really, the truth of the matter is that Miyun is going to clear history. It happens to be in the second half of the Mishnah, if you'll notice carefully, so how many times was she divorced? Okay, so count it up in the second half of the Mishnah, and you will find that she's divorced three times. Shilsha begitin. Three times now she is divorced. So, at that point in time, the Chachamim said, you know what? Under normal circumstances, a minor gets married, so she's a minor. And she will be treated as such, like we've been discussing. But here, divorced three times. So, kid gedola. What the Chachamim therefore did at this point in time now is they treat her like an adult. And that means to say that, according to Ula, once a minor is divorced three times, she now has the status of an adult. And there's not going to be an ability to clear history of the fact that she was now married, to another man. That's why she cannot return to her original husband. Who gave her a get? Okay. Couple of issues with Ula's position in terms of reading it into the Mishnah, but let's just leave it like that. Okay. And we're going to pause over here. I know we have a little bit left in terms of getting to the Mishnah on the bottom, but we'll pause over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Anyway, let's quickly review. Two very fundamental Mishnayos in terms of Miyun. The first Mishnah that started on Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, talks about when is Miyun necessary, meaning at what point in time is she a katana with sufficient das where the marriage is going to be recognized on a rabbinic level and Miyun is going to therefore be required. So that is that was articulated in the first Mishnah of today. And then the Mishnah also introduced us to the Shita Rebbe Eliezer, who says that when a woman is getting married as a minor, it's not marriage at all. Presumably, Rabbi Eliezer is even of the opinion that she gets married in her later minor years, meaning 10, 11 years of age. It doesn't matter, meaning it does not constitute marriage. There is not going to be any kind of privileges or responsibilities of marriage, not financially. It will not impede her ability to eat truma. Rabbi Eliezer says it's rather remarkable that if she's a Bas Kohen and she's married Kedusha Ketana with a man, she can, and the man's a Yisrael, she can go back and she can eat truma. So that is a really unique, interesting, what the Gemara described as a consistent position, because it doesn't have to be terminated with get. So it's a really unique position of that of Rabbi Eliezer. And then finally, the first Mishnah also introduces us to the opinion of Blaz Ben Yaakov basically makes a distinction. I'm going to say the second pshat. It makes a distinction between whether the marriage terminates with Miyun versus whether it terminates with get. If it terminates with get, so then Halacha views them as if they were married. Even though she was a katana, if it terminates with Miyun, so then halacha views as if they were not married. Which then brings us to the second Mishnah of today. The second Mishnah of today, starting on the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, going to the top of Kuf Ches Amud Beis, makes exactly this point. That if marriage terminates with Miyun, so they were never married. If the marriage terminates with Get, so then they were married. With all the consequences of having been married, meaning he can't marry her relatives, she can't marry his relatives. If she is, from this point going forward, if she was married, she can't marry, and ended in a get, she can't marry a Kohen, etc., etc. The big discussion on Kuf Ches Amud Beis is whether or not Miyun is going to clear history with her and her husband, which it would. Is it also going to clear history with her and other husbands that she had historically? Okay, I know that's some life to live by 9 years of age, having been married to more than one man. But once she does Miyun, is that going to be able to clear history with her and other men as well? Right now, we have it as possibly a machlokus in our Mishnah, although some Amoraim believe that there's no machlokus, meaning you could try to find consistency within our Mishnah.